Turn with me to Psalm number 34. Psalm number 34. And so for some reason, God wants us to go there tonight. Amen. And we're going to deal with Psalm 34. And we will parade and peruse the periphery of verse 1 through verse number 10. Amen. 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 When you have Psalm 34, Psalms 34, looking at verse number 1. This is a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. And it reads that I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's read this together, verse 1 through 10. How about that? I like the way it sounds when we read it together. You ready? Read. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints. There's no want for them that fear him. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. 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 Now somebody needed encouragement tonight. And I don't know who you are. I don't even know where you are. But I do believe that when God gives a word and when he deals with me or deals with any preacher on a situation or a scripture or even a title, topic, whatever the case, I believe that he intends to get this message to you. So I don't know who you are, but tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, tonight's message is for you. Now tell him, yes, you. Amen, amen. I want to use for a thought, title, topic on tonight, never mind the thunder. Amen. One of the sons of thunder is preaching tonight, so that was just God, amen, and me. Amen. See, he don't have to have an amen, but we need to get the amen. He can amen himself. Amen. But really, he just wants to cool it off for us. So he's going to let it rain a little bit and cool it off. Amen. But I want to use for a thought, a title, topic on tonight. Praise God for deliverance. Amen. Subtitle, just a taste will do. Amen. Praise God for deliverance. This psalm, Psalm number 34, is an acrostic psalm, meaning that each verse, with the exception of a couple in this psalm, that it begins consecutively with a Hebrew alphabet, all right, and Hebrew letters. And so this psalm it was made that way because it was one of the psalms that they would memorize. And in order to memorize it, if you started it with each letter of the alphabet, you could get kind of started on the next verse because you knew what the next letter was whenever you were reciting it. And so the rabbis and many of the Jews, and even Jesus being devout himself, he memorized several of the psalms. Amen. And here we are, and we can't memorize two or three verses. Amen. Thank God for Bible apps on your phone, your iPhone or your Android, because without that, we would be lost. God knew we wouldn't read. He knew we wouldn't remember. So he gave man technology to create an app, and all the other apps that's been created was vain, but the one for the Bible is the reason why he let all the other apps exist. Amen. Amen. So This is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, let me give you the backdrop of the story here. Now, David had been anointed a few times because he was supposed to be king. But because he had a friend turn foe, or basically he had a frenemy, you know, we got frenemies, people who are friends but they really hate us. You know what I'm saying. His frenemy, Saul, decided that he wanted to kill David. Amen. He decided that, David, I benefited from you while I could, but now you're getting too much of the attention, and so I need to do something about you. Amen. And you know how it is sometimes when people you're letting them benefit from your being present. You know, they benefit from you being around. They're blessed. Y'all go out to eat and people pay for your food because you there. Amen. They're blessed and they get deals because people like you and they're associated with you. But then they get a little bit jealous because they don't have it like you got it. You know, that's kind of how it was. Because what happened here is that one day David came up on the scene. He was just a shepherd boy minding his own business. But God, without warning, put him in the forefront. And see, sometimes God will do that for us. We, without warning, God will take us and move us from the back pew to the pulpit. Preach. God will not ask you if you want to do it. He will just put you on the spot. David entered into a place not knowing that God was about to put him on the spot. And guess what happened? David walks up, all of Israel hiding in the mountain, even Saul, who happens to be head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He was also afraid to fight a 9'6" giant by the name of Goliath. Amen. And so David walks up and David says, you know, why in the world y'all letting this giant curse our God? Why are we hiding in the mountain? And his brother got mad and said, David, you need to go home. You just came to see what you can see so you can go back and talk about it. David said, I ain't trying to hear that, but I want to know why in the world we sitting here in this mountain and nobody's out fighting this giant. And David said, I'll do it. Just let me know what I'm going to get when I get through. So David decides he's going to go. Saul says, okay, I'm going to give you my armor. David said, I hadn't tested and proved that. In other words, what you're giving me might not work, but what I know will work. See, sometimes we try to put on ourselves the things that everybody else wants us to put on. We put on TBN and we're going to try the 12 steps to this and 3 steps to that. Give this and that's going to happen. And do this and that's going to happen. Turn around 3 times. And the televangelists tell you to run around your house. Yeah, we do it. But we come to church and we won't just put on what we know God say put on. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He said put on the new man. He tells us put on the garment of praise. And we won't do that, but we'll listen to whatever another man tell us to do. But we hadn't proven that yet. But I came to tell you what God said to put on will work. All right, let me go. So here it is, David says that I want to fight. And so, but I don't need all that. All I need to do is go down to the brook. I need to go to the river, find 5 smooth stones, stones that are smooth, stones that are red. I wish I had time to elaborate on all of the metaphoric meaning of all of the things, like the stones, the 5 of them. Goliath had 5 brothers, but it also, we understand there was the 5 books of the Torah, which represents the word of God at the time. But it's a whole bunch of stuff. He got them out the brook, out the river, and we know that the word of God is like a river. Amen. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and we are washed by the water, by the word of God. So David went to the word and got something for him. Preach. Okay, I'm going to preach in a minute. But I don't have time to tell you all that. But anyway, David put it in his shepherd's bag. And see, you need to be happy about the shepherd's bag. You need to be happy about what the shepherd got in his bag, because what he got in his bag will give all of us victory. Preach. Oh yeah, what he has in his bag will not only give him victory, but it's going to bring your household victory. It's going to get you out of the mountain. It's going to take away your fears and whatever got you bound and whatever giant is opposing you. Whatever he has in his bag can give you tonight, if you would just listen to what I got in my bag. Oh yeah, it'll give you some victory. Come on and say amen now. All right, so David, he kills Goliath. And he said, Goliath is no match for me because I fought against the bear and I fought against the lion. And I know they're stronger than this joker right here. And he got to have an armor bearer. And they didn't have nothing. They had teeth and claws. I wish I had somebody. And finally, he defeated them. And the people begin to sing better. Yeah, the women begin to sing because the men gossiped because there wasn't no women out there. But the men went back and told what happened. And they said, look, Saul killed his thousand, but David killed 10,000. They began to make a song about David. They made a ballad, and it went to the top of the chart, and Saul got jealous because he was number two on the chart, and David was number one. I wish I had somebody. And so when they would sing David's song, that made him mad from the very beginning, but then he hid it in his heart. You ever had some secret haters that they knew you was a bad joker, they wouldn't mess with you, but they secretly hated you behind your back? Come on and say, man, y'all, I guess I'm the only one that had some haters that was behind me. They hated me behind my back. They wouldn't say, David said, they won't say it to my face, but behind my back, he hate me, but he can't do nothing about me because I'm here and God has anointed me. I wish I had somebody. When you are anointed by God, it doesn't matter how hard they hate. It doesn't matter how mad they get. God will keep on blessing you. God will keep giving you victory after victory just because they want to see you fail. It don't matter. You know what? Don't even entertain what somebody tell you. They just want to see you fail. Tell them, so what? They ain't going to see it. They can keep wanting to, but I'm in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord has a way of doing things to make me successful, and I'm just going to trust in him. Do I have anybody in the house tonight? Oh, yes. So David said, I ain't worried about it. There was a time when David just, you know, Saul said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do because he's a bad man. I can't beat him, but I want him to be my armor bearer. Because if I can't beat him, that means nobody else can't beat him either. And since nobody else can beat him, I know I'll be protected by the best. I want him around me. You know, sometimes people who don't like you want you around because you, I wish I had somebody. They want you around because of what you bring to the table. Where my preachers at? You gotta come on. They want you around because they know that you bring something. You bring a gift. You bring a skill. You bring an anointing. You bring something that will protect them because they ain't gonna halfway do it right no way. All right. Well, so David, okay, and Saul. The Bible says that God let a I'm trying to give you the backdrop of the story. Y'all gonna bear with me while I do. God let a spirit. Now, sometimes we think every spirit comes from the devil, but God sent a spirit to Saul, to where the Bible said where he twiddled the thumbs, and what it means is that he was unproductive. He became a procrastinator. He wouldn't do nothing, just sit there. He was a king, and he was supposed to be at work, but he didn't do nothing. He didn't do his kingly duties. He just sat there. And so in order for him to get motivated, you know, sometimes we need some people who know how to praise God to get a fire lifted in us to make us get motivated. In order for him to get the spirit off of him, he had to have a skillful person to come and play, and that person happened to be David. Yeah. David had an anointing on him that would drive away the devil off of Saul. But look, even after the devil was driven away, Saul came to himself and said, David, you just got too many gifts. And he took a javelin and he tried to throw it at him. David escaped. David's now on the run. Saul is sending people after him to try to kill him. He's trying to lure David in, and he's taken David's wife and gave David's wife to somebody else. He hates David's guts. He went from being the armor bearer and his son-in-law to somebody who he wanted to assassinate. And so David decides, because, you know, when you start getting beat up by people that you thought loved you, when you start getting people hurting you that you thought you was trying to help them, and they start hurting you, come on and say, man, something happens in your mind. Something happens, and I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how many tongues you speak in, and I don't care how you Holy Ghost feel. Something will happen to you mentally where you start saying, I don't know what to do. So when you start to flee, you will escape to wherever you feel the safest. You'll say, well, I'm just going to leave them alone. Y'all can't tell me I'm not telling the truth today. You'll just say, I'm just going to leave them alone. And you try to go to your own little spot, but then you find out that even in your little spot, they've been sending folks there. They've been trying to talk about you. They made up lies. They did all of this stuff. And so you got to go just a little bit further to get away from them. I wish I had somebody. And so even in your mind, the enemy starts to attack your mind. And guess what happens? You stop making sound decisions because you are emotional. And we can't make decisions through our emotion. We must make decisions through the Spirit of God. We must try it and see if it's of God. I wish I had somebody. So what did David do? David decided that I'm just going to run from here and I'm going to go to Gath. Happens to be the hometown of Goliath, the one he killed, the champion of the Philistines. I wish I had somebody now. And so he decides, in order for me to be able to survive, I might need to go hang out with Saul's enemy and I might be able to be accepted among them. But guess what? Because you are anointed and you're supposed to take Saul's place, God ain't going to let you be comfortable in the hands of the enemy. I wish I had somebody here. David made a bad decision. He went to hang out with, the Bible calls him Abimelech, but he was Achish. And the word Abimelech is just another name for a king. That's what they call their kings, like the Egyptians called their king Pharaoh, and how we call our presidents the president. It's just the title. And so he got caught, and they took him before Abimelech, and David decides that he says, you know, how in the world I'm going to get myself out of this mess I got myself in. And sometimes we go among people that we ain't got no business hanging out with because some of our friends did us wrong, and now we're trying to make some new friend. Listen, you don't have to always be around people. You need to find yourself being around God. You need to find yourself being around the godly people. You need to find yourself being around people who show the love of God. I wish I had somebody in here. So quit trying to go find somebody. Quit trying to go tell somebody what they did you. I don't care to hear what they did you. All I want to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's time out for talking about what they did. Well, I heard and they say they're the two biggest lies ever walked the face of the earth. I'm tired of listen to that there. But what I want to know is, if you got that anointing, are you willing to get out there and do what God wants you to do? Do you know that the greater the anointing, the greater the attack on your life? Do you know that the enemy is going to come at you because you got the word? Somebody told me one day, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Look like every time I turn around, the enemy's on my trail. I said, you ain't doing nothing wrong. The problem is you got the word of God on the inside. The Bible says that when the word of God is sown, immediately the enemy comes to try to take it up. Tell your neighbor, you ain't did nothing wrong. But you got the word. That's what he's after. That's what he wants from you. He wants to choke it up. He doesn't want it to grow. He wants to make sure that he snatches it out and that you give up. So David went over there and David decides, you know what? In order to get out of this mess, I got to act crazy. In order to get out of this mess, I got to act foolish. And so David decided that he going to just, you know, he had a beard and he decided that he just going to drool, just start drooling. Then he start scratching on the walls and he start acting kind of insane. And then the king looks at him and say, y'all, you know, this can't be the David that slew Goliath because this man is crazy. This man can't be the one that took our champion down. And David came out of that. He said, get this man from before me, because they believed that it was bad luck if you killed a man that was insane. And so David was saved from that. And he took David and cast him out. And David found himself in a cave called Adullam. And here we are. Found himself in a cave. And the good thing, David had a plan. And you know, God gave him that plan. Amen. To get him out of trouble. When you're anointed, God will give you a plan. Oh, he said he'll make a way of escape. Y'all with me tonight? He will make a way of escape if you just trust him. Tonight, we need to learn how to trust God. Can you trust God for your deliverance? Can you trust God that he'll make a way for you? Can you trust God that he'll heal you? Can you trust God that he'll bless your children? Can you trust him that no matter what happens in your life, everything is going to be all right? Tell somebody, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Now tell them, all right. Yes, all right. So here it is, David. Now, I'm getting to it. I'm trying to. Y'all help me. I'm trying to. Y'all pull a little bit and make me get to it. So David now is at the cave of Adullam. And while at this cave, I better just go ahead and get in the message. While he's at the cave of Adullam, and David starts to think about the things that God has done for him. Anybody ever thought about God, what God has done for you, and you, it really got good to you? Well, here's what David did. The Bible says in verse 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Lord have mercy here. David found out something, that when Saul was trying to kill him, he had to bless the Lord. When he was in front of Goliath, he had to bless the Lord. When he was in front of Abimelech, he had to bless the Lord. Hallelujah in here. And so in other words, David said, I'm going to hallel. I'm going to celebrate God. You know, that's why we say hallelujah. The word hallel means to celebrate. And so God wants us to celebrate, and we need to celebrate who? Jehovah. Celebrate God. Celebrate the one that's bringing us out. Celebrate the one that brought us through. Celebrate the one that keeps on keeping on, that keeps on blessing me. Celebrate the one that you say that every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. Do I have anybody in the house? Said, I'm here for the celebration. Now, you know how it is. We always go somewhere. I go somewhere. I said, man, I'm here for the celebration. I didn't come to be down. I didn't come to hold my head down. I came to lift up. I came to say, hey, let's party in the house. Let's praise in the house. Let's get together and do something in the house. I didn't come to be bored tonight. I came to lift up the name of Jesus. David said, he escaped, and he says, here's my celebration. He says, I will bless the Lord. First thing we find out is David makes this thing personal. And since David makes it personal, he says, I will bless. The word bless, we get the word, where we get the word bless from, it is the word rooted in the knee, in the Hebrew word knee, for knee. And since it means the knee, he said, I don't mind getting down on my knees before God. I don't mind blessing God. Come on and say amen. And so David made it personal, but then he said, at all times. And since he made it personal, David said, my praise ought to be perpetual. I need to praise him all the time. I need to praise him in everything. Paul saying, everything, give what? Thanks. I need to praise him when it's going good. I need to praise him when it's not going so good. I praise him when my blood pressure is 120 over 80. And I praise him when it's 180 over 95. Whatever it is, I praise God when it's good and when it's bad. I bless the Lord at all. I praise him when my sugar's at 80. And I praise him whenever it's at 40. But I will bless the Lord. And I praise him when I got a pocket full of money, but I praise him when I got more month than I do money. I bless him at all times. Oh, y'all not ready for that. I bless him at all times. But not only was his praise personal, not only was it perpetual, but his praise was influential. It's a natural thing to want to praise God. We should praise should be a natural thing among us. The Bible says praise is comely for the upright. It just look right for you to praise God. If you say you're a Christian, it's just attractive to God. It attracts God to you because the Bible says that he inhabits the what? Praises of his people. I wish I had a few people here to be revived tonight. He says that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my what? My mouth. And so his praise is in my mouth. I will make sure that I gotta thank you. I make sure, you know how sometimes we get bad news, the first thing we do is curse. You get angry, we say other stuff. But how about trying to bless God? How about trying to say, thank you, Lord? Oh yeah, thank you, Lord, because I know you're gonna make a way. Thank you, Lord, because I know all things work together for the good. Thank you, Lord, because if God is for us, then who can be against us? Thank you, Lord, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Y'all are with me today? Thank you, Lord. He begins to celebrate. But then he goes on. Look at verse 2. He says, my soul, my mind. My soul is my mind. Your soul, listen to this, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So your mind decides how what God has done. You start thinking on the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. Then your soul, your mind start breaking up into a praise. Say, I can just see myself running. Huh? And then your will is that I got to do what my mind wants me to do. And then your emotions, and some people cry, some people shout, some people sing. Whatever it is, you start showing some emotion. Some people even laugh because of how good God has been to them. I wish I had somebody in here. He said, my soul will make her what? Boast. Oh, some of us, we need to be boasting in God. I'm so glad it was the Lord who was on my side. If it were not for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I need to tell you that I don't know where I'd be. I guarantee I wouldn't be here, but I don't know where I'd be. But I'm so thankful that I ain't where I could have been, that I'm here tonight. I wish I had somebody. Glory be to God. Oh yeah, praise should be a natural thing. But look at this. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, when he says her, we know what her is. Her is a woman. Her is the female part. Amen. Her is a woman. And so he said, my soul shall make her boast. See, your soul is like a woman. That's why a woman is most of the time emotional. Husbands understand that. Husbands understand. They most time they're gonna talk to you out of emotions because I feel a certain way. Now you done made her feel something. Now she either you're gonna have to do something or you're gonna have to do something different because you made her feel whatever she felt. And so she's talking to you from what she feel. Right? Y'all with me? Women are emotional because they cry first, right? You know, they're emotional. I'm not trying to put, but that's the way God made you. You see, even an Eastern thought is this, that the man is a thought and the woman is the emotion, because behind every thought there's an emotion. All right. Y'all with me? Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna go on now. I don't want to stop too far. But he says, my soul will make her boast. Now, when he said her, the one thing I love about this is that if you take anything, I don't care what it is, and you give it to a woman, give it to her. She ain't going to give it to you like you got it. Y'all with me tonight? You can give her egg, and she'll make you an omelet and give it back to you. You give her a seed, she gonna take it and 9 months later give you a child. Come on here and say, man, you can give her whatever you give her. You give her some cloth and she'll come back with some clothes. You give her some money and she coming back with something. Grocery, clothes, out of shoes, whatever. Whatever you give her, she ain't gonna give you back what you gave her, but she gonna change it and give it back to you. I wish I had somebody in the house. And so what David was saying is that whatever God gave me, he gave it to me, and I'm turning around and I'm giving him back something that he didn't give me before, but he produced this praise that is coming off my lips. He produced this thank you that's coming off my lips. He made me want to praise him. My soul have made her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof. Oh my God. And be glad. Do I have any humble people in the house that say, I'm going to be glad? I'm glad for what God is doing for you, because I know if God is doing it for you, he has no respecter of persons, that whatever he's done for others, he'll also do it for me. So if God is healing, I know God will heal me. If God is delivering, I know God will deliver me. Y'all with me? Whatever God do for somebody else, I know he'll do it for me. So go on and tell me. Tell me what God has done for you, so I can go back to my prayer closet and say, God, on yesterday, you done it for Pastor J.B. King. I need you to do it for me. And God said, you know what? I can't deny you, because all of my children, I love you, and I want you to have the kingdom. Oh, come on and shout yes in here. Y'all still ain't ready. Look at this in verse 3. He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us. David loved to be with other folks when praising God. Now, some of you say, I can praise God at the house. Oh, but a true praiser say, I can praise him at the house, but when I give with other folks, oh my God, I'm going to really praise her. The Bible said that David, when he was already praising in the field, he knew how to play that harp. He had an anointing on him. But when somebody else played, guess what? David said, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant. And on the way back, he was praising God till he danced out of his clothes, made his wife mad. He said, that's okay. I can get more vile than this. If you think that made you mad, you just wait till next Sunday and watch me praise God some more. I wish I had some people that say, I can get more vile than this. I can praise God tomorrow. I'll praise him in the morning. I'll wake you up. You don't make me shut my mouth, because if it hadn't been for God, David said, Oh, magnify the Lord. Look at the invitation. We went from a celebration himself to an invitation. And sometimes we need to invite people into our praise party. Tell them, come on, you got something to praise God for. Let's praise him together. So David started out in a solo, but then he said, let's have a symphony. Let's get together and all praise the Lord. He invites others to praise along with him. And because he was in the cave, notice where he was.
We know your hearts have burned with